Turn again, please, to Acts chapter 2. This morning we were considering the message of the apostles, and we were looking at the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. This evening I want to continue with that same theme. I want again this evening to look at the message of the apostles. And again we want to concentrate our thoughts on the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. With God's word open before us, let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to preach God's word this evening. Loving Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the wonderful salvation that God offers to sinners. We thank thee, Lord, that it is an everlasting gospel, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How we thank thee, how we praise thee, that salvation is eternal, everlasting. We thank thee, Lord, tonight, that even in this meeting, if sinners turn to Christ and trust him alone as their Savior, they can have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. O God, we thank thee for the blessing of being saved tonight. Sins forgiven, peace in our hearts, a home in heaven, the knowledge of knowing that we'll never be in a lost eternity. O God, I pray for those here tonight who have not this knowledge, they have not this assurance. Indeed, Lord, if they were to die now, they would be in hell forever. O God, I pray that you'll have mercy upon such this evening, that you'll stop them in their tracks, even tonight, Lord, that you would convict them of their sin and show them their need to be saved. And give them, Lord, that desire to seek the Lord tonight for salvation. O Lord, I pray that you would fill me afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, we read these words. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 41. And we know the Lord will bless again the reading of his precious word. I want to draw your attention again this evening to the message Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Although the apostle delivered this message over 2,000 years ago, it is the same message that gospel preachers must preach today. And while it is true to say that times have changed and that many centuries have passed since Peter preached this sermon, still the contents of this wonderful address which Peter sounded forth on the day of Pentecost has not changed as far as God is concerned. The message that Peter preached is still the same, and it's the message that we must preach today. Now, we're all familiar, I'm sure, with the events leading up to the day of Pentecost, but let me just remind you of them again. In Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus ascends up into heaven after his resurrection. The disciples then make their way back to Jerusalem, and along with the women, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And it was while God's people were at prayer that the Holy Spirit fell upon the prayer warriors, and thus was ushered in the event known as the Day of Pentecost. The wonderful thing about the Day of Pentecost was that God gave his servants the gift of languages, so that they could preach the gospel to all the different nationalities that were gathered in Jerusalem at that time. It was in the midst of these circumstances that the Apostle Peter stood up and preached the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we noticed this morning, Peter in his message exalted the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come this evening to consider this wonderful message again, there's a number of things, very simply, that I want to draw your attention to. And I pray that as we preach the message tonight, that the Lord will again come and speak to all of our hearts. But especially if you're in the meeting and you're not a Christian, I keep emphasizing that because it's so important. The Lord has brought you here tonight to hear the message of the gospel because he loves you. He wants to save you. He wants you to experience his eternal salvation. And thank God you can experience God's wonderful salvation. And although you may have come into this meeting in your sin, on your way to a lost eternity, you can leave this meeting tonight saved and on your way to heaven. And that's the wonderful truth of the gospel. Tonight you can be saved. And not only can you be saved, but you can know that you're saved. But my friend, in order for you to be saved, you must believe the message of the gospel, not only in your head, but in your heart. Because the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And it's so important that you come and bow by faith at the foot of the cross, repenting your sin, and by faith trusting Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You see, as we're going to find out tonight, in order for you to be saved, you must confess your sin to God, and you must turn away from your sin, and you must trust Christ as your Redeemer. And thank God, if you do that, then you will receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me, first of all, that it was a message that pointed man to the Savior. Now, we noticed this morning, but it cannot be overemphasized. And although I don't want to go into all the details that I drew your attention to this morning, it is important to state again that the Lord Jesus Christ, and him alone, he's the only Savior. Peter and all the apostles, when they preached, always pointed men to Christ as the only Savior. They had no other message. Only that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he was the Savior of the world. Indeed, every time Peter and the apostles got up to preach, that's what they declared. Every time we preach today, we must point men to Jesus. The theme of Peter's message here in Acts 2, as we found out this morning, but let me emphasize it again tonight, was the person and work of Jesus Christ. So let me emphasize this truth again in this gospel service. The great theme of Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, and indeed every time the apostles preached, was Christ and him crucified. Was Christ and him resurrected? Was Christ and him glorified? They always sought to point men to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The whole thrust and essence of Peter's message on the day of Pentecost was salvation through none other than Christ. Look again with me at some of the verses that we considered this morning, but look with me at verse 22. For the benefit of those who weren't here this morning, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, speaking of Christ, being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." There we can see very simply and very clearly that the main theme of Peter's message was Christ, was the Lord Jesus, was the Son of God. And as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he continually pointed men to the Savior. Men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is the only Savior of sinners. There's no other Savior. There's no other Redeemer. There's no one else who can bring sinners to heaven apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no other message but Christ alone. Acts 4 verse 12. Listen to what Peter said. When speaking of Christ, he said this: "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." My friend, if you're in the gospel meeting tonight and you're not saved, the only way that you can be saved is through the Lord Jesus. You must be saved tonight if you're ever going to get into heaven. You must be saved tonight if you're ever going to escape hell. You must be saved tonight if you're ever going to make peace with God. But it can only be through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 5, verse 30 and 31, we read, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Oh, let me tonight again point you to Jesus. Your greatest need this evening, my dear unsaved friend, is to come as a sinner to Christ. He loves you, He died for you, He rose again for you, and He wants to save you. I wonder this evening, would you not come to Him? In John 1 verse 12, we read those familiar words: "As many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And the truth is this, that if you're ever going to be saved, then you must come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Savior. That word "receive," it means believe. That's faith. And you must come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder tonight, as we come to the close of our meeting, have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone as your Savior? Salvation is not Christ plus something else. And of course, that's where the cults and false religion make their mistake. Because they will emphasize that if you want to be saved, then it's Christ plus something else. The Church of Rome will tell us it's Christ plus Mary. It's Christ plus the Mass. It's Christ plus good works. And of course, the cults, they will tell you the same: salvation by works. But here, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he emphasized faith in Jesus Christ alone. And of course, that is the message of the gospel: the just shall live by faith. And that's why, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, you must come in childlike faith and trust Him as your Savior. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. That lovely hymn in our hymn book, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome, God's free bounty glorify, true belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall, if you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Not the righteous, not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to call." Note what the penman said. He said, "Sinners Jesus came to call." Sinners, Jesus came to save. And thank God he did come. He came and he died upon a cross. And there upon the cross of Calvary, he laid down his life for your sins and for my sins. And he rose again, as we found out this morning. And praise God, he's coming again. Oh, let me tonight point you to the Savior. Point you to Jesus. Point you to the Lamb of God. He's the only one that can prepare your soul for heaven. Would you not come to him tonight and trust him as your Redeemer? But notice something else. Take a look at verse 37, Acts chapter 2. And you will see, not only was this message, not only did it point men to the Savior, but you'll notice that it was a message that searched the hearts of sinners. Look what it says in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, when they heard what? When they heard the message of the gospel, when they heard about their sin, it says they were pricked in their heart. Underline those words. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The message was preached in such power and authority that the Holy Spirit used it to convict those who heard it of their sin. You see, these people in Jerusalem who Peter was preaching to were those who had cried out at the trial of Christ, crucify him, crucify him. But now, as Peter on the day of Pentecost reveals unto them their great sin, the Holy Spirit takes the word and uses it to convict the people of their sin. Now, I want you to see that. It's very important. Conviction, in theological terms, means being condemned at the bar of one's own conscience as a sinner who has broken the law of God. And of course, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he exposed their sin, the sin of the people. And when Peter preached and exposed their sin, conviction came upon them. They realized what they had done was wrong, and they were pricked in their hearts. Indeed, conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit, showing to the sinner the heinousness of his sin and ungodliness and wrongdoing. Therefore, when these people on the day of Pentecost were pricked in their heart after hearing the message of the gospel, the Holy Spirit was convincing them of their sin, revealing unto them that they were sinners in the sight of a holy God. My friend, have you ever, after hearing the message of the gospel, or during hearing the message of the gospel, come under conviction of sin? Have you ever realized that you are the sinner? That you have offended God? That you have sinned against God? Has your heart ever been pricked? Has your conscience ever been spoken to? As you've said under the sound of the gospel, have you ever trembled in your soul and realized and recognized that you've sinned against God and that someday God is going to bring you into judgment for those sins? Because he is. Someday God will bring you into judgment and you'll be judged because of your sin. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And we have often emphasized from this pulpit, whether you're walking down the clean side of the broad road or the dirty side of the broad road, whether you're walking down the religious side of the broad road or the irreligious side of the broad road, it makes no difference. The broad road is leading to a lost eternity. And everyone without Christ, whether they were religious or not, will stand before God in judgment for their sins. You're a sinner tonight. You're a sinner. That's what the Bible says. That's what God's word declares. And my prayer is that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the word of God and convict you of your sin. You see, that's what was happening here on the day of Pentecost. After Peter preached Christ to them and exposed their sin to them, God began to work in their heart and they realized that they had broken God's law and trampled under his commandments. They realized that they had rejected the Messiah and nailed him to a cross. And their hearts were pricked. The conscience was spoken to. You know, conviction, of course, is not conversion. But you know, you cannot be converted without Holy Ghost conviction. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring men under conviction of sin and to convince sinners of their sin before God in order to bring sinners unto repentance. Conviction in itself will not save you, but before God saves any soul, he will bring them under conviction of sin. My friend, have you ever been under conviction of sin? Perhaps many times you've walked out of gospel meetings, maybe even these meetings, and you've gone home realizing that you need to be saved, recognizing that you are the sinner. Perhaps even going to bed, you can get no sleep. You're tormented in your mind, you're pricked in your conscience, and yet you're not saved. What a mercy it is when God begins to work in the heart of the sinner and convicts them of their sin. But that's not enough. Many a man, many a woman, many a young person has come under conviction of sin and has rejected the message of the gospel and has said no to God's free offer of salvation. Let me give you one such example. Turn to Acts chapter 24. It's a familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of us. But if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, I want you to consider this portion of Scripture very closely, because we read here about Felix coming under conviction of sin. And as he thought of his sin, he was pricked in his heart. His conscience was spoken to. But at the end of the day, when Paul preached to him on this occasion, he rejected and he was lost. Look with me at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He heard Paul preach the very same message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Because as we have been emphasizing today, the apostles preached the same message. Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ glorified, the Lord Jesus coming again. And Felix here heard that same message. And as Paul preached to him, not only did he point him to Christ, but he exposed to him his sin and revealed unto Felix his ungodliness. And look what it says in verse 24. After Felix heard Paul preach about the faith in Christ, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. He trembled under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord was working in his heart, I believe. Why else did he tremble? He was thinking about meeting God in judgment, because Paul preached about the judgment day to him. And as he thought about the judgment day, and as he thought about his sin and the consequences of dying without Christ, he trembles. He's under conviction. My friend, do you ever tremble in your heart? Do you ever tremble as you think about meeting God in your sin? Do you ever tremble thinking about meeting God unprepared? You would need to start trembling, for it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's what the Bible says. What a day it's going to be when God sets up his great white throne judgment. And when the nations, and you will be there, are gathered before him in judgment. What a day that's going to be. I tell you, on that day men will tremble before God. But it'll be too late, because the day of judgment will have come and the day of grace will have ended. And you'll be a lost soul standing before your Maker. And he will pronounce, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Oh, Felix trembled under conviction of sin, but although he was convicted of his sin, he was not saved. That's the point I want to make. He was not saved, because he said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. You see, not everyone who comes under conviction of sin repents. And that's why it is so important that if the Lord is working in your heart, convicting you of your sin, showing you your need of a Savior, you need to come to Christ now and repent and turn to Him by faith and trust Him as your Savior. You need to cry unto Him for mercy. You need to cast yourself upon the one who has died upon the cross and the one who has risen again for your justification. You need to come by faith and trust Him. Oh, I pray tonight that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will bring you to repentance, will lead you to faith in Christ. That's what happened here in the book of Acts chapter 2. Take a look at it. There's something else I want you to notice here. Not only did this message point men to the Savior, not only did this message, as we have seen there, search the hearts of sinners, but I want you to notice that this message, it saved the souls of many. Look what it says in verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look at the end of verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What a message. After Paul preached this message on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. Why, not only did these men and women come under conviction of sin, not only were they pricked in their hearts, but they were saved. They were saved. How were they saved? Well, take a look again with me there at verse 37 and 38. You'll notice, first of all, they repented of their sin. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The first thing that Peter exhorted them to do in order to be saved was to repent. My friend, if you want to be saved tonight, you've got to repent. Repent of your sin. There's not much said today about repentance in religious circles. They talk about commitment. The Bible doesn't speak about commitment. The Bible speaks about repentance. Repentance unto life. How we need in these days to preach the biblical doctrine of repentance. Repentance means turning away from sin. These people realized that they had sinned against God, that they had sinned against their Creator. And Peter here is saying, listen, if you want to be saved, then repent. Turn away from your sin. And that's what they did. And my friend, that's what you've got to do tonight. You've got to repent. Then take a look at verse 39. Not only did they repent of their sin, but they believed the promise. It says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. What was this wonderful promise? The promise of salvation, the promise of eternal life. And these people, in order to be saved, not only did they repent, but by faith they believed in the promises of God, and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And of course, that's what it means to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I wonder tonight, have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever put your faith and trust in the Son of God in order to save you, in order to forgive you for your sins? My, praise God tonight. There's a wonderful promise in the Bible, and it's this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is a message not only for the Jew, but to the Gentile. For the promise is unto you, Peter said, and to your children, and to all that are afar off. And praise God, that message That promise is still for sinners today right across this world. If they would only but acknowledge that they are the sinner and that Christ is the Savior, and if they would only come to Him by faith and trust Him, He would save them. And then take a look there with me at verse 41. Not only did they repent of their sin and believe the promise, they accepted the word. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. That simply means that on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. All this adds up to this, that the people got saved by turning to Christ and trusting in Christ for their salvation. My friend, you can be saved tonight. Your soul can be saved tonight. You can prepare for heaven this evening. Can you see what's happening here? It's a wonderful story. But it's happening every week, today, right across this world. What's happening, preacher? The gospel is going forth. Christ is being preached. That Jesus is the only Savior. Men and women are coming under conviction of sin. Their hearts are being pricked. Their conscience are being spoken to. They realize that they're sinners. And they're coming and repenting of their sin. And in childlike faith, they're trusting in Jesus to save them. And He's saving them. Even in this land tonight, I'm sure someone today got saved. I wonder, in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church tonight, is there someone who's going to get saved tonight? My friend, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But let me tell you this. If you reject it, in other words, if you don't get saved, tomorrow, next week, someone else will get saved. Because there's people coming to Christ all over the world tonight because the Lord is bringing in His church. I wonder, will you be among the redeemed of God when the roll is called up yonder? Will you be there? You see, we look at this number, and it's a tremendous number. 3,000 souls were saved. Just think about that. Before Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, there was only 120 Christians in Jerusalem. But now, there's 3,120. 3,120. But there were still those in Jerusalem, after hearing the message, after coming under conviction of sin, that rejected. And we'll see that in the days that lie ahead in these studies. Oh, my friend, tonight, will you come to Jesus? Will you trust Him as your Redeemer? What a message. The Lord Jesus Christ tonight will save you for all eternity. But you must come to Him. Will you come tonight? Let's all pray.